Welcome to the Writer's Weekly Podcast, a forum geared toward the writing enthusiast and those who want to make money from their writing. I'm Brian Whidden, Managing Editor of Writer's Weekly, and I'll be your host along with Angela Hoy, the creator of Writer's Weekly, and President and CEO of BookLocker.com, a full-service book publishing company. Whether you want to learn how to become a professional writer, how to find writing gigs, or even publish your own book, then you come to the right place. We'll be discussing all kinds of topics relating to the writing and publishing industries. Don't forget, you can also click over to writersweekly.com. There you'll find not only thousands of articles about professional writing, you can also find current paying markets and job listings to help you boost your writing career and even your bottom line. But for now, let's get on to this episode of the Writers Weekly Podcast. Thank you for joining us on this, our first podcast episode. This is a new venture for us. We are so excited about building this and seeing where it can go. I'm Brian Whidden, Managing Editor of WritersWeekly.com. And right now, I am assuming that most of you who are listening to us are current Writers Weekly readers and subscribers, because that's where we're going to be really promoting this podcast by and large. So a special shout out to you, our Writers Weekly family, and thank you so much for the support that you've given us over the years. And I'm here with Angela Hoy. And Angela, go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Well, I'm Angela, and you will hear Brian calling me Angie.
Yes, they will catch me calling you Angie. I've known you for 10 years, and that's what I call you.
I'm the publisher and the president and CEO of WritersWeekly.com, Glocker.com, and Abuzz Press. I'm the author of 26 books, and in the past 25 years, BookLocker has published more than 16,000 print and electronic titles. Brian already explained what Writers Weekly does.
It's completely free.
Oh, that's right. I forgot I was supposed to add that part. Writers Weekly is completely free. You can come to the website. You don't have to subscribe. You can review the entire website for free.
All right. And so we're brand new at this. Again, this is our very first podcast, so we're not going to be perfect.
Expect some laughing.
Expect some laughing and some goofiness here, buddy. So our original plan when we decided to do a podcast, we were going to throw together about 10 episodes on some very basic stuff about writing, just easy stuff to listen to, and then put that in and then start building on that. But over the last couple of weeks, we have been seeing something that we decided was so important, we wanted to make that episode one. Those of you who have been reading Writers Weekly for a while, you know that one of Angela's passions is scams and unethical practices in the publishing industry. And if you go, you can go back all through Writers Weekly history, and you'll see a lot of articles on that. And we have been seeing something much different on the horizon, though. And Angela just posted an article a couple of weeks ago. It's called A List of Publishers and Services That All Authors Should Avoid at All Costs. And it's showing, a much different beast that's raising its head in the writer's world. And today we're going to discuss just how bad this problem currently is, and how we identified what was going on and what these companies are doing to authors. Writers Weekly's efforts to uncover and combat the problem, what the scammers' responses have been to us, and even Facebook's complicity in the problem, and what we're going to talk about what listeners and writers can do to protect themselves. Now, when we talk about scams, Angela, again, I've been with you for 10 years, and I remember when scams to us were things that basically the publishing, the companies in the publishing industry would, quote, offer people for money that really weren't anything that was going to help them sell their book. And that's basically what we're calling scams. They weren't necessarily stealing anything from anybody, but for instance, a lot of your publishing, your big publishing companies will say, hey, for an extra, I don't know, $500, we'll do a press release for your book to 10,000 news outlets. Tell me what the reality is about that.
The reality is I receive press releases every day, all day long, and they automatically go into my spam folder. And every other journalist is also doing that.
Yeah.
Selling a press release for a book, it's very old school. I mean, people just don't do press releases anymore.
Yeah.
Unless it's some kind of celebrity with an agent. And encouraging an author to pay $500 or $250 or $1,000 to send out a bunch of emails, knowing that that's not going to sell books, is, in my opinion, a scam.
Yeah. And as a publishing company, we could easily amass a 10,000 email address list, and all it takes is a couple of clicks, and we've sent your book out, or we've sent your, you know, press release out for $250, $500, and we've really done nothing.
Well, other scammers are selling those email lists online. I can buy 10,000 email addresses for $2 today.
Yeah.
Problem is, they're selling the same list to many, many other companies and individuals, and I guarantee you most of those emails are dead.
Yeah.
And they're just, and the ones that aren't are going into spam folders. It's a ripoff.
And then book fairs was another one. Now book fairs are a real thing. They're put together by, well, some publishing companies, some other entities, and they gather authors all together you tell them about it. What happens when I pay a publishing company another $500 to hook me up with a book fair?
Well, the fact is, the only people making money from book fairs are the people that are hosting those book fairs and the subcontractors that are convincing publishers and authors to pay money to have their books featured at those book fairs. There's a whole other scam related to that that we can talk to in the future. I have told authors from day one, avoid book fairs at all costs. You're going to have one copy of your book surrounded by thousands and thousands and thousands of other books, and nobody's going to see or buy your book.
Yeah, and unless your name's Stephen King,
right,
or something that people are going to write, you know, who cares,
right,
who you are, and nobody's going to come rushing to you. Oh, I want to buy your book. It's here at the book fair.
Well, again, and telling authors, oh, this is such a great opportunity. I get those scam emails all the time too. It's a scam.
Yeah,
it really is, because they're getting their hopes up for something they know is not going to happen. That copy is not going to sell.
Yep. And then, if I'm correct, what really got you going with the whole scam thing? And again, these are examples of what we used to call scams, and we've got something much bigger going on right now.
Yeah, those are now considered minor scams.
Those are now just practices.
Right.
But magazines and publishers that weren't paying their writers royalties.
Paying for the articles. Mm. That's what started all of it, and this started almost day one when I launched Writers Weekly 27 years ago. I would get authors or writers emailing me saying, I wrote for, you know, ABC magazine and it's been 6 months and they haven't paid me. Can you do something about it? And we actually ended up launching a discussion group on the website where people would come in and post complaints about magazines, and we would use those to shame the magazines into paying the writers. The scams are far more sophisticated now and they're on a global scale.
So Let's go into that. What are we seeing right now pertaining to the publishing scams?
We're seeing something we've never seen before. There are literally thousands of fake publishing companies running ads online and with their own websites. Our spreadsheet has over 900, and it's just the drop in the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
We're adding more every day.
Okay. Where are they from? Are these in the U.S.?
No.
Okay.
They pretend to be in the U.S., but they're not. They're primarily from Pakistan, the Philippines, and India.
Okay.
Another thing I want to add is many of them have their websites registered in Iceland.
Okay. And that's We're going to talk later about what a big problem that can be.
Yeah.
If you give these people your money,
you ain't getting it back.
Right. Yeah. And from what you've told me, these people are advertising on Facebook and other social media companies.
Yes, primarily Facebook, which is owned by Meta, Instagram, also owned by Meta, and LinkedIn. And I'm sure they're advertising on other sites as well. We just went after the big three that, you know, we started researching the big three.
Are you listening, Zuckerberg? We've had, like I said before, we've had a huge increase of writers and authors actually contacting us because, again, they see Writers Weekly. They see that you're going after scams. And we're getting this huge influx.
Like I've never seen before. I'm spending several hours a day now. Opening emails and investigating specific companies and websites that authors have sent to me saying, what can you tell me? Are they a scammer or not? And I don't charge them to do that research because it adds to our list.
And you're getting emails from people saying, I hired this company and I think there's something wrong. Can you look into it? How much money are people losing here?
The biggest one so far, it was a company in the Philippines with many, many websites, and the woman lost $90,000.
$90,000.
Mm-hmm. I will add that the owners of that company are in jail in the United States right now.
They were recently picked up as they flew into, I think it was California somewhere,
The
FBI snatched them up.
And they're not getting out until the trial.
Yep. But even though they're going to go to jail and all that, what are the chances of this person getting their $90,000 back?
Very little. There's so many victims. Mm-hmm. And honestly, when there is capital, they had a bank account in the United States. I think it had $5 million in it. Their agent, their registered agent in the U.S. also got arrested. But if you consider the number of victims and the amount of money, because they've been in business for, I think, since like 2009. She's not getting her money back.
And from what I heard, these people were living it up large. They were spending money everywhere. Mm-hmm. So how much money they even have to give back to people is going to be questionable.
Well, I know where that money's going to go, to their lawyers.
Probably. Yeah. Okay. So we've kind of done an overview of what we're seeing and how bad the problem is. So let's go to the beginning here. All right. So what originally brought your attention to this problem?
Well, I spend a lot of time on Facebook because I have a lot of friends on there and I read a lot of interesting information on there. And I started seeing these ads pop up in my feed that looked very similar to each other. And, you know, the wording, the placement of the words, the bullet lists of services for authors. And so I started reading the ads. And the first thing I noticed was, the very first one that I really clicked in on was there was a syntax error in an ad and then in another ad and another ad, and they all different websites and companies, but they all had the same syntax error. It was get published in $299, get published in $399, etc.
Get published in instead of get published for.
Right. Exactly.
So clearly these were not native English speakers
Right. Putting
these ads up on Facebook.
Correct. However, the addresses they had on Facebook and on their websites were U.S. addresses.
Okay. Now, how does that work?
Well,
I mean, can you legally do that?
Well, if you're pretending to be located in the United States to fool authors into doing business with you, that's fraud. How you can get, you know, I'm not even sure if I should share on this podcast how to get a U.S. address if you're not in the U.S.
If you put up a website, you can put anything you want on there.
That's true. Honestly. A lot of the addresses were for single family homes. Of course, Companies weren't there. Apartment complexes. Some government buildings. I remember the one that had Department of Human Services van outside. And some of them do claim to be located in office buildings, but they're not really there.
Okay.
And if readers want to email me, I'll tell them how that works, but I don't want to put it on the air.
All right. So continue on with what else was grabbing your attention here?
I would go to their websites. They would have more syntax errors. And the more websites I went to, the more I realized they all had the same look and feel. They had, you know, the book covers in one place. They had this horizontal stripe of major media logos that I know they'd stolen. No, they had not been on CNN or ABC. They'd not been featured in the Wall Street Journal. I knew that. They had author photos that were either cartoon characters or they were stolen from stock photos on the internet. And I found those by doing a reverse Google search.
Okay.
Even the author testimonials were fake. They had, if you publish an author and you put their book on the market and they give you a testimonial, doesn't it make sense to put the name of their book under the testimonial and a link where people can buy it?
But you weren't seeing
that. No, they weren't doing it. Oh.
So you were just basically seeing, quote, testimonials saying, wow, this is a great company and I love it. And it doesn't tell you who actually said that.
And here's a funny thing, and I might be getting a little off the topic here. Foreign peoples in certain cultures don't understand American names.
Ah.
The names are clearly fake because a lot of them have two first names, like John Bob or Alice Kelly or James Robert.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and the best one was they actually had an author testimony and the author's name was John Doe. That was golden. That was a great one.
What about, you mentioned phone numbers.
Yeah, so I started making a spreadsheet of these scammers with the name, website, address, phone number, et cetera, and taking notes. Started noticing that some of them had the exact same phone number.
Okay. Explain that. Of them had the exact same
phone different number. Websites with different names had the exact same phone number. So, because I could see it on my spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. So I would go to Google and I would Google the phone number in a specific format. The first three numbers in parentheses, next three digits, a hyphen, then four digits, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a list of companies would pop up using the exact same phone number. And they were all publishing and writing related. And then I hit the mother load and I just started adding more and more to my spreadsheet and then sort. And same thing with the addresses. Sometimes the address pulls up a home. Sometimes it pulls up a bunch of different businesses and they're all scammers.
And when you look into these companies, are you finding any of them that are listed in any state incorporation listings?
No.
So none of them are actually incorporated at all. Yeah.
I haven't found any.
And what's the average age of these websites you're finding?
It's funny because I was working on it one day in January and I found one and I Googled the name and they had like 15 fake 5-star reviews on Trustpilot and that had all been posted like on the same day, you know, big mm-hmm. red flag.
So a bunch of 5-star reviews all posted same day.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
On their website, it said they'd published 100,000 authors. They had, you know, this many, you know, New York Times bestsellers. The website had been open 5 days prior.
5 days.
Yeah. And, you know, just.
Now, just for reference, because mm-hmm. that may not seem. To jump out, you know, for some people that may not jump out at them, but booklocker.com has been in business how long?
We are in our 26th year.
And roughly, how many authors have you
in 26, almost 26 years, we have published more than 16,000 print and electronic books.
Okay. And now we're small. We are a small company.
Yeah. These companies are smaller, trust me.
Well, I get it. But so in all that time, 16,000 books, but these people whose website has been around for 5 days claim to have published 100,000 books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They have a little horizontal zip and the numbers start flying, kind of mm-hmm. like a slot machine. And it goes 100,000 and then 17,000 of this and then 500,000. A lot of those websites, if you see something that looks like a slot machine, it's a scammer, trust me.
Okay.
They all do the same thing.
Yeah. So it seems like it may actually be kind of a small group of people that are just basically generating website after website after website after website after website to make it look like they're all different companies.
And Amazon has successfully gotten some of them shut down because many of them are committing trademark infringement using the name Amazon, AMZ, Kindle, KDP, and I actually worked with.
Let's jump on that one real quick, because I remember you mentioned that to me as well. Is that you're going to see names that are meant to trick you into thinking that they are a big pot. I remember somebody called themselves something Penguin.
Penguin Publishers.
Penguin Publishers, actually, which is to make you, if you know anything about book publishing, that's to make you think they are
Penguin.
Penguin, which is actually a big
New York publisher.
Publisher. And we're finding that they'll use the word Amazon. They'll use the word KDP in their name.
They will use the trademarked logos of those companies or something that looks almost exactly like them.
Yeah.
Penguin is like a yellow and black, if I remember correctly. And the website had it looked legitimate. Mm-hmm. Of course, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. They have stolen the trademark names of countless companies in the industry, legitimate companies. But the biggest victim is Amazon.
Hmm. Okay, so that's basically that's how you caught on to this. You got on the trail of this thing, and I mean I've been around. I've seen you. It's like, you know, telling me, it's like, oh my God, I found another 20. I found 50 this time, you know, and it's just from, you take one and you Google a phone number. Mm-hmm. You'll find 5 or 6 more.
420.
You take an image of that author that quote published their book. You do a Google search, and you'll find that picture, and it's on 3 other websites. So this just grows and grows and grows.
A little funny side note. Mm-hmm. One of the quote authors, he's this kind of burly looking guy with, you know, full beard and everything. He looks like a nice guy. He looks like a teddy bear. Mm-hmm. He's very easy to spot. He's on several of their websites under several different author names. But guess what? He also works for some of them, because some of them have quotes from their employees. And next to him on some of those websites is a woman who they quoted her as being in California. But like 6 hours later on another website, she lived in Nevada. And she had a woman's name on the first website, but a man's name on the second website. I mean, if you just kind of delve in and look and you start seeing these things, it's kind of laughable. Unfortunately, people are still getting scammed.
Well, that's the thing is we sit here and we giggle about this stuff because how ridiculous it is. But unfortunately, your average American web browser is going to who wants to sell their books. And let's delve into this real quick, because at this point, Some people listening to this can be like, how are these people getting fooled by this? But when you put months or maybe years, and I've got a book out, I wrote a book, you've written 20-something books yourself, 26 books yourself, we both understand when you spend months or years putting together a book, especially if it's something you really feel passionate about, when it comes time, you want to put it out there. The excitement is there.
Yes.
And the emotions are there. And unfortunately, a lot of people are just in such a hurry to get that book out. Mm-hmm. And a lot of authors don't have a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Or they just want to, you know, this amazing deal of $2.99.
$2.99.
You're going to get that book out, and they're going to edit it for you, and they're going to build a cover for you and all this stuff. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. It's hard not to really want to believe that this is true.
Yeah.
And that you're going to get you're going to get your dream come true. You're going to be a published author, and the world's going to read your book, and it only cost you $2.99, and you're dreaming of all the royalties that are going to come rolling in. And you know, it can be very easy to want to convince yourself that these are true. And let me know if I'm about to dive into something that's I guess too much information, but I know that we've had authors who contact you. You will tell them, hey, here's what I found. This publisher is a scam. They don't want to believe it.
Well, there was an example 2 weeks ago, a woman contacted me and she said, I think I'm getting scammed. And she had spent let's see, she paid them like $4,000 and then an additional $600. And then I looked up the company and I wrote to her and I said, unfortunately, yes, it is a scammer. And by the way, they have the same phone number as these seven other websites. And she was absolutely devastated. And then she contacted me again and had a complete role reversal and refused to believe she was being scammed.
It's almost like a form of Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, you said that the other day, and that is exactly right.
You're being held hostage.
Yes.
And then when somebody tells you you're a hostage, you want to believe that your hostage taker is not holding you hostage. They're on your side.
Yeah.
And we're gonna we'll jump into that a little bit deeper.
Another episode.
It's hard when you just listen to this to believe that people are getting caught up in these things, but it's happening. It really is happening because honestly, people don't take 20 minutes to look into a company and start doing some Google searches. And it's all right there. It's all there for you to look at if you want to look for it. And we will talk about how to look for these things.
Can I mention the link real quick?
Sure can.
Ridersweekly.com/scams.
Ridersweekly.com/scams. We are doing the investigative work, but we haven't found them all, but we are doing the investigative work. We have, give me a rough number here. How many have we uncovered so far?
We have over 1,000 on our spreadsheet now.
Okay. And we're listing them as quickly as we can.
Yeah, but on that page, the first link is 11 steps you can take to see if the company you're about to sign with is a scammer. And the best part is, in most cases, you only need to do step one to find out they're a scammer.
There you go. All right, so let's move forward a little bit here. What are these fake people or these fake companies, these people that are, because they're not really companies. They're pretend. They don't exist. They're a guy or a small group of guys somewhere in another country building websites. But what are they doing to authors and writers?
Well, let me step back just a little bit about what you just said. Mm-hmm. It is, I believe, three or four core companies, could be fewer. And they have either people working from home in the Philippines and Pakistan and India. Because I've talked to a lot of these people that when the chat boxes pop up, you can actually engage these people. I think that they have some enormous computer power because they have so many websites. And once one goes down, they just kick another one out.
Okay, so I'm actually wrong. This isn't a couple of dudes in their underwear in their basement.
Oh, no.
They're actually very organized.
This is a large overseas scam consortium is what I've been calling it.
I gotcha. Okay. So it's far, so that makes it worse.
Yes.
They have the organization and they have the money clearly.
And they're making money.
To just keep building these websites and building these websites mm-hmm. and building these
and
websites.
And they're very sophisticated.
Okay. So what are they doing to authors and writers, as far as the scam?
Well, they lure you in with that rock bottom price and they tell you they're going to get to work on your book before
just $2.99.
In just $2.99. Okay. First thing they're going to do is hook you up with an editor who doesn't speak English. Mm. Now, you're not going to know that up front because you're not going to get that quote edited manuscript back for a long time, if ever. In the meantime, they're going to start with your cover design, mm-hmm. but then they're going to tell you, oh, that cover design in the ad, that was just for the background image. Yep. You have to pay us an extra $600 or $1,000 or more to actually add text to your cover to add more images. Oh, and that interior formatting that was just to convert your manuscript to like Microsoft Word or whatever program they come up with. If you want us to actually format it to industry specs, that's going to cost you another $1,000, $1,500, whatever. They keep, if you want an ISBN, which is required for every print book, that's going to be an extra $600 or something, a barcode. They just keep adding on more things that were never included in the beginning.
And they don't do it all at once.
It's piecemeal.
They do one service. Mm-hmm. So like book cover. Okay, yeah. We got your cover image. And did you want text on that? Oh, you wanted your title of your book on that? Okay. Right. Yeah, that's going to be another $500.
Mm-hmm.
So you've already, and this is the classic throwing good money after bad.
Mm-hmm.
You've already paid them just $299.
Yeah.
But now you're in it mm-hmm. and you want your book.
Yeah.
Now they're telling you, well, it's just going to be another, you know, $300 and we'll get that cover all finished for you. Okay. Now the cover's finished. Oh, did you want it? Did you want a publishing page on it? Or I mean, or did you want a title page on your book?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that's going to cost $300.
Right. Yeah.
You know, yeah.
So it's just an ever increasing amount of them throwing the bait out.
Yeah.
Dangling the non-existent book in front of your virtual nose. And these poor authors think if I just spend a little more money, I'll eventually get my book published.
Didn't you tell me about one example where the quote publishing company was told the author that, or maybe this is one of the ones doing a movie deal, is they paid them some money and they said, oh, well, now there's some kind of licensing and the government wants X amount, so you need to pay us this amount.
That was actually a book. And some of the scammers are trying to convince authors that they have to be licensed to be an author. And they came up with this totally bogus name for an author licensing thing.
No.
And convinced authors that they had to pay, you know, $279 in order to get their book published. Otherwise, they're breaking the law.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. And again, this is after you've already spent just $299 mm-hmm. plus something. Now you're into it for maybe $500, $700, $800. And now they're telling you, oh, well, wait a minute. You don't have your author license. Well, folks, in case you didn't know, you don't have to be licensed to write a book.
Right. Exactly.
That doesn't exist.
This is, it's like the old sweepstakes scams where they'd say, oh, call you on the phone. You won the sweepstakes for $2 million. We need you to pay us, you know, $100 so we can overnight. Oh, by the way, we need another $500 and then it's $5,000. And people just, like you said, good money after bad, just keep paying in and paying in, hoping finally someday that check is coming in. Well, that check is never coming in and that book is never coming to your doorstep.
And it's not, again, it's not just publish your book. What other services do they offer?
Oh, sky's the limit there. Writing and ghostwriting. They'll offer to write your book for you. Ooh. What you don't know is the person writing the book doesn't speak English. Editing, of course, same thing. Cover design, interior formatting, publication services, printing, distribution, book marketing, web design, SEO services. Oh, we've seen some pretty interesting ones that same companies are targeting other industries. For example, one of them with very bad syntax on their website now offers online tutoring for U.S. children.
Oh, great.
I mean, they're just reaching.
Yeah. Yeah. And the one I love, and I swear to you, I get at least 2 scam phone calls and 5 emails a week saying, hey, author of Blue Lives Matter, which was the title of my book, Blue Lives Matter. We've reviewed your book and we think it would make a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
And call us and we'd love to talk about the details of getting your book turned into a movie. And I can only imagine how many authors out there actually get fooled into thinking that some studio out there has decided to make their book into a movie.
Well, and that scam works is they tell you, we're working with Netflix or mm-hmm. Universal Studios. They will actually steal the logos from those companies. They will use the real people names. So if you Google the name, it's a real person. Mm-hmm. But the website, the email address is just slightly different. They make it look really legitimate. But trust me, authors, your book's not getting made into a movie. It's just not going to happen.
And I don't know anything about the movie industry. I don't know how it's done per se, but I'm smart enough to understand that it isn't by some anonymous person calling me on the phone saying, hey, we'd like to make, you know, if somebody's going to put the money into making a movie with my book, they're going to they're going to call and they're going to arrange a meeting face to face to sit down and talk to me.
And they're not going to charge you a penny.
And they're not going to charge me to do that. They're going to pay me mm-hmm. to use my
script,
my book as their script. The minute they ask you for any money at all, that ain't a movie
deal.
It's
a scam.
That's a scam.
Yeah.
I'm just smart enough to know that that's where it's going.
Right.
Call me, because nobody wants to make my book into a movie. Trust me.
This actually, this type of scam didn't start with this overseas scam cartel. We have several competitors that compete with BookLocker that offer book to movie deals, and I'm not aware of even one of them over the years that actually became a movie. And the authors spend thousands and thousands for the screenplay to be written, and it's a scam. It just is.
One of our who I think was one of our best authors started down that road. He wrote 5 books. He was with Special Forces. And had some very harrowing incidents go on, and the books are fantastic. But he went down that road. He is now passed. He died of cancer, but he got about a year into it before he realized, unfortunately,
it wasn't going to happen.
And these people were really convincing, because they were on the phone with him. He was actually talking to people, I guess, claiming to be
part of a major studio with a major director.
Talent searches, or talent scouts and that kind of stuff. And it just kept going and kept going and kept going and kept going. And he finally realized, man, this ain't coming out. Now I think they were looking to the real, either Netflix or somebody,
I can't remember,
was starting to do actual negotiations with him, and unfortunately he
actually fired his agent and got a different one, and then the real Netflix came out of the soil.
And really sad part about this was every penny he was making on those books were not going in his pocket, and he was in a wheelchair. Okay.
Yes.
He had been through so many surgeries and reconstructions and everything. And all of his money was going to a foundation to help veterans.
That he owned, yeah.
That he started, yes.
He was hands-on involved every single day.
If there was ever a man, based on what he wrote about, if there was ever a man that had every right to just curl up and hate life for the rest of his life, it was him. But instead, he got past some PTSD and other problems, and then he built this wonderful organization to help veterans, and then he's trying to make more money from his books making a movie, and these people scamming. And it sucked.
We had another author posted online last week. Boy, it was cringeworthy. He copied and pasted to his social media page that he was getting a movie deal from Netflix, and he said, if this isn't something that, makes my book worth reading, I don't know what is. And I had to write to him and say, it's a scam. And he is an elderly gentleman who's been scammed twice before. And I've written about the Netflix scam on Writers Weekly a couple of times. I've written about several of these movie scams on Writers Weekly.
And I just want to throw this in here. We are not saying that Netflix is scamming anybody.
Right.
We're saying that people are pretending to be Netflix.
Yeah, they're impersonating
Netflix. We're covering ourselves legally here. But it ain't Netflix scamming people.
And Netflix is aware that they're being impersonated.
Not only are these companies now one way these companies get your money is the way we described is first you pay them their $2.99, then they say now you owe us this, then they say now you owe us that.
And right.
A lot of them are just taking that $2.99, they disappear and you never hear from them.
Yes, that's happening too.
Yeah.
But they're getting more sophisticated. They figure if you've already paid $2.99, I mean in just $2.99, then you might pay in just $3.99 later.
Yeah. They're learning how to keep dragging you along.
We published an article last week, and we can put a link to that under this episode, about scammers now coming on social media and offering to help scam victims get their money back for a fee. I started researching it, and the Department of Justice issued a warning about these types of scammers a long time ago. What I didn't know was these scammers are selling lists of scam victims that include their names, contact information, how much money they lost, what kind of scam they fell victim to, because chances are they'll fall victim to another one.
Oh.
And the author I just talked about,
yeah,
he was about to fall victim to scam number three. And again, he's elderly. A lot of these victims are elderly.
That those two subjects kind of roll into each other. So let's stick with the Facebook groups for a minute, and then we'll jump into the elderly. And I think that'll probably wrap up this episode here. Scammers are actually creating Facebook groups for authors.
Yes, they are.
And so it's basically, hey, join our writers group, join our favorite book group, blah, da, 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 da. And then they get a bunch of people to start coming in, and they'll moderate and get discussions going and get people talking about how to get published and, you know, how much of it. And then they'll actually start pitching their scams directly to people, mm-hmm, in that group. I think using Messenger.
Not only Messenger, they will see this every day on Facebook. I know that this one group, for example, I can't pronounce the guy's name who owns the group, who's the moderator of the group. Every day he posts several times, writers, show off your book covers today. It's Friday, show off your book cover. Writers, what book are you working on next? And people will start, they'll post their book cover, and then right underneath you will see boom, 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 people responding. Check your private messaging. Check your PM. Check your PM. Mm. I PM'd you just now. I can help you do this. Writers, what's the hardest part about writing a book? Editing. Oh, all these scammers. I'm a professional editor. I know you can't pronounce my name, but I'm a professional editor. So, yes, they're doing that.
Yeah. So you got to be careful when you decide you want to join a writer's group on Facebook. You got to be careful what you're getting into.
They have also infiltrated legitimate writer and author groups on Facebook have so many members, it's difficult to moderate them.
Sure.
I mean, I understand if it's getting 10,000 posts a day, how can the moderator keep up? They're all over the place. And what I tell people, if anybody contacts you through social media offering you services, or if they spam you or cold call you on the phone, don't do business with them. Just three red flags right there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so let's segue into, again, you know, booklocker.com. We are a publishing company. And so we publish people's books, and a large percentage of our authors are elderly people.
Yes.
And it makes sense because they're not working anymore. They've saved up a retirement. Now they have money for a book. Because when you're working for an hourly wage and trying to pay your house off and raise your kids and feed your family, putting a book out there isn't always the biggest priority.
You don't always have $1,000 to spare.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's you have more important things to spend $1,000 on.
Also, after you retire, you have far more time to write a book. When you're raising kids, it's hard to write a book. And trust me, I know.
That's true.
I have five kids. I raised five kids. The youngest is 18 now, but it's hard.
And then when you look at the fact that, you know, okay, you're 60, you're 70, you're 80 years old. You know, you've lived a full life and you feel you have something to share with the world. And this goes back into that emotional attachment to your book, and you know, you feel like you've got something to offer, and this is something you may have wanted to do for years and years and years. Finally, here's your chance. And again, here, you know, here's probably your largest percentage of people that are vulnerable to these scams.
I will tell you though that I love working with older people. Mm-hmm. They're so sweet. They do have important lessons to impart on the rest of us that once they're gone, literally. I'm editing a book by an elderly ex-cop right now, and this guy is hilarious. And he actually has a lot of very important life lessons in that book that I think will really help people out. And older people, they're sharing experiences that kids in our generation right now just they'll never experience. And I think it's important to keep history alive that way. But they once they get older and they're retired, they're like, I can finally write that book I've been wanting to write my entire life. And honestly, most people want to write a book in their life. So.
Yeah.
But they are also more vulnerable to being scammed based on the personality type or what they've experienced before.
And when you consider, you know, somebody who is, again, 60, 70, 80 years old, they're not necessarily as internet savvy as somebody who's 30, 40.
That is a very good point.
You know, I'm 55. I didn't get my first computer until 1998. You know, and I'm okay getting around the internet and stuff. But
nerdy enough.
But you know, even I'm seeing stuff. I'm seeing things on the internet, in other words, ways of doing things, ways of using technology that I'm kind of like set my ways. I don't even want to learn about that because it's too much hassle. It's always, you know, this way has always worked for me. And it's the same for elderly authors, you know, and they come from a time when, you know, who would claim to be a book publisher who's not a book publisher?
You're right.
You know, there was a different time when they were growing up where, and you always knew that if somebody did scam you, the law would jump right on them and take, well, that's because people from India, people from Pakistan, people from the Philippines couldn't just reach through that screen and offer you this great deal and take your money from you.
Take your credit card
number.
And they
could disappear
forever.
Bank
transfer,
You know, or take your credit card and God knows what they do with you then. The technology has just opened up the ability for these scammers to come in. Well, Angela, I think that about does it for this half of this topic. We don't want to make any of these episodes too long for anybody, but we're going to go into episode number 2 next week. And what we're going to be talking about is the efforts that we've gone. Yeah, we've done some searches. We discovered things. But then we're going to go into our efforts to uncover the scope and depth of the problem, and then to combat it, what Writers Weekly and BookLocker.com team have been doing to try to get this stopped or under control,
or prosecuted,
and what kind of pushback you've been getting from these shady characters.
Been getting pushback from them and from Facebook. That's a whole other episode. Y'all don't want to miss that one. Absolutely.
And then we will get into detailed steps, what you as an author or a writer can do to protect yourself. Because again, we're not kidding. There's thousands of these things floating around all around social media now. You've got to be able to do your own research and determine whether or not something looks too good to be true.
And until the next episode, writersweekly.com/scams has all the resources you need right now if you are considering signing with a publisher today. You can learn today if they're a scammer or not.
Well, that's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening to the Writers Weekly podcast. And tune in again next week for the conclusion of this episode, and we look forward to seeing you then.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks again for listening to the Writers Weekly podcast. Don't forget, you can always log on to writersweekly.com to find resources that can help you make money from your writing. Do you have a book you want to publish? Head on over to booklocker.com, where there are no overseas call centers and no chatbots. You talk to Angela and her team directly. We look forward to having you join us on the next episode of the Writers Weekly podcast.